Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts this brand new year, 2024. It's exciting in a lot of ways. If you remember one of my segments last year, I was talking about Satan. And does Satan exist? And we looked at a whole bunch of things. But another name for Satan is the devil. And my question for the brand new year, and we'll look at a couple segments, is this. Does the devil go to church? Wow, think about that. Because the devil is much wilier, and he may even be closer to the church than you think. The Bible reveals that he deceives a whole world, meaning that it's even duped churches and religious figures. Is this possible? Can you be deceived too? Yeah, and believe it or not, Satan plays an enormous role in religion. That's why we say we don't have a religion as Christians. We have a personal relationship with the living God through Christ. But, and I always like the buts, he is interested. He being Satan is interested in what happens in the church. And we often think of the devil as out there, you know, somewhere. Maybe even on the attack, because Scripture said he is roaring to devour like a roaring lion. But do you realize that he may be much closer than you think? Have you ever considered that Satan goes to church? Oh, no way, preacher. Yeah, it's possible that the devil has wrestled his way into our church, your church, the church of the Lord Jesus. God's word says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the great dragon was cast out of heaven, the serpent, the old devil, called Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Ooh! How much of the world has the devil misled and conned? Well, I would think, if you think about it, he has conned and misled a lot of the good-meaning people. Here God says it's the entire world in the scripture that I just shared, and that includes his deception in religion. So, if you believe the Bible, you should recognize that Satan has deceived even church people. And what are the signs to look to find out if Satan has infiltrated our church? Ooh, now has he or has he not? I say our church. Even think about the whole church, the universal church of Jesus Christ. Because what he does is he blends truth with error. The Bible reveals some of Satan's methods in the opening pages. Remember this story? As I always say, we got to go back to the beginning sometime. And Satan said to Eve, "Had God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" Genesis 3:1. Satan then contradicted God, saying, "Oh, you'll surely not die." That was a lie. It could be cast as partially true, because he does twist scripture in a sense, that Adam and Eve weren't going to immediately drop dead if they disobeyed God. Yet from that moment of succumbing to the sin, their eventual death as its cost would be assured. That's when death entered into the world. And we experience that too, but good news, Jesus has conquered death. I digress. So, the deception was on. They took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It represented deciding good and evil for themselves. And under Satan's influence, leading to a mixed-up morality of truth and lies. Although many of the half-truths Satan throughout history has led people to misunderstand God's word. He wants to have us make decisions that lead us away from what is right. But we may think, well, I wouldn't be misled. My church couldn't be off track. I study the scriptures. Yet we see here with Satan's first interaction with humanity, he does not come across as all evil all the time. No, he has a scheme and a strategy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking that whoever he may devour." Now we may probably seen nature shows presenting lions on the hunt. You ever seen those? I mean, they hide, they camouflage themselves well, and they are waiting for an opportunity to pounce, and then they strike. Well, in the same way, Satan is evil, but not obviously so. He's deceptive, subtle, and cunning. And this is how he actually tried to undermine Jesus Christ as his earthly ministry began. You may be familiar with the story in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. And Christ was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan came to Jesus and tempted him. He took Jesus from the wilderness to Jerusalem's towering temple complex and did something very shocking. He quoted scripture to him. Can you imagine Satan quoting scripture to God? He told Christ, go ahead and jump off. Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12 says, He, God, shall give his angel charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Well, that's exactly what scripture said. But did God the Father want Jesus to jump off of a building to prove that point? He did promise angelic protection, but it wasn't for show. So here we see Satan presenting the holy word of God in totally wrong and evil way, using that to try to trip up Jesus. That's Satan's strategy. The devil purposely misrepresents the word of God, and he twists it just a little. He knows how to use scripture, but he distorts it. He'll take it out of context. He'll change the meaning. So it's important to ask ourselves, how well do I know scripture? And do I know things well enough to prove a point? And can I justify what I believe and speak the truth? That's why we encourage people to study the Bible, worship, and understand what God's Word truly says, so that you're not deceived. Many times when the Bible comes up in discussion or conversation, sometimes it goes like this. Doesn't the Bible say something about that somewhere? Or isn't it something like this or that? Or maybe, yeah, I think that might be in the Bible. And too often it's out of context or paraphrased, a misquote, or even a contradictory of what the Bible clearly says. So here's a warning for us, and we're going to look a little bit more in the next couple of weeks about Satan going to church and does he really exist and all of that. Yeah, make no mistake about it. The Bible knows, yeah, but Satan knows the Bible. And he did that with Jesus, and he does it to the churches and the people in the church. So you better know it and be able to apply it correctly, or you'll be tricked and misled. It's a pretty scary thought when you think about it, isn't it? But you know, when we're tempted, and I use the same thing, Jesus told us how to get rid of the old boy. And I do it a lot when I'm getting attacked or things that I don't understand or he's playing tricks on my mind. I do what Jesus taught. Get thee beside me, Satan, for it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Or, and I added this, or his people. So, Satan, get thee behind me, for it is written. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Well, we always close this little segment with the prayers, and we have a lot of people to lift up, especially in the new year, New Year's resolutions and all of that kind of stuff. And people need a touch from God, and we always look at the new year as a fresh start. And I look at it that way too, and I hope that you do, because all the things of the past, they are the past. And we don't need to harp on the past, although we need to learn from the past and learn from history, but we don't need to harp on it. We have a fresh start every morning when we wake up. We got a new opportunity to make decisions and do different things, and we ask Jesus to help us through the course of the day and to forgive all of our wrongs. He even said, when you ask for forgiveness, he said, I'll put it in the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered again. Hallelujah for that. But I like the fact, yeah, even though all my sins have been forgiven and they're put in the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered again, He will let us use it. He'll let us bring it out and share it for His glory, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ and how He's delivered us from evil and the evil one, as we talked about. So anyhow, we come into a prayer of agreement with all of those that are on our prayer list. And while Judy and I were going, Karen Alford, the pastor at Bethel that Judy and I followed, since went home to be with the Lord. And we were so grateful that some people from our church went to her homecoming celebration, Tina and Travis and Linda Sassine. But we as a congregation lift up the Alford family in their time of need, because I know they were hanging on to the blessed hope. And Karen is now safely home with the Lord. Jesus taught the disciples a prayer that we commonly call it the Lord's Prayer. And it's a prayer that Jesus taught. I like the Lord's Prayer in John 17, and because Jesus was praying for us. But the Lord's Prayer that we commonly call was a model prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples and that we can use for all of our prayers to line up with, as we close this segment with the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Hallelujah. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hope and pray you have a good day, and thank you for listening to my thoughts on the online version of the Bethel United Methodist Church.